We'll circle back to item number 13, the Department of Health and Human Services strategic plan presentation.
Okay. Good morning. This is Steve Isaac Gorodetsky. Am I pronouncing that properly?
You pronounced it just right.
Oh, thank you.
A lot of letters in there.
Yes. Good morning, and thank you for waiting.
Yeah, good morning, and that's no problem at all. Steve Gorodetsky, Strategic Initiative Director at Department of Health and Human Services, and I'm excited to get the opportunity to speak with you, and enjoyed the presentation by Dr. Johnson and Heller, and I've got an opportunity to hear that presentation, and every time it makes me think and consider, and I appreciate the last comment, you know, Dr. Johnson, about the connectivity between public health and DHHS, and in particular mental health. So that's something we've been building over time. The COVID gave us an opportunity to, well, force us to work closer, and you know, we've been thinking about how to, not that we're in a post-COVID world, but maybe post-COVID emergency, you know, how to continue building and using that relationship. There's 11 public health officers in Milwaukee County, which is a large number. And unfortunately, you know, since the beginning of the pandemic, there's been an incredible amount of turnover in those public health officers, which is, you know, really reflected in the rest of the country. You know, it's a tough job, and a lot of pressure and stress in those roles. We've continued building those relationships, and know that you know, Mike has presented to the public health officers a number of times, even in the past 12 months, to, you know, talk about what, you know, what our work is, to talk about, you know, some specific opportunities. And I know that our work continues, you know, in the context of the opioids and other work. So a lot of opportunity there, but certainly something we're working on actively. So I'm here to speak about the DHHS strategic plan. I'm excited to get the opportunity to do that. I will own that I could probably speak about strategic plan for hours, and I will probably give myself, I don't know, something like 10 minutes. But I'll, of course, I'll leave some time for questions. So I'll pull up a couple of things here, and I'll actually, what I'll do is I'll start with a video. There's a really nice video that our team has made to talk about kind of what strategic plan is and what the purpose is. So I'll start with that to whet your appetite, and then I'll go through a couple of slides. So let's see if we can get the video to work. It's always an adventure here.
Released our 2020 to 2025 Department of Health and Human Services strategic plan all around creating healthy communities. And we're really excited about the strategic plan because what it does, it focuses on where we want to be in the future and how we're going to get there.
The DHHS strategic plan represents almost 2 years worth of work assessing our current state and looking at how we can move our services upstream to make sure that we're meeting the needs of all of Milwaukee County's residents.
You know, I've shared with the team is let's not just put a plan together that we have in paper, then we put it on a bookshelf, but it's about the action after the plan, moving the needle, making sure there's better outcomes, making sure there's improved customer experience.
Culturally acceptable services are very important for us, and just having satisfactory services is not good enough. That's the baseline, that's the bare minimum. We want to show that we improve someone's lifespan, someone's life outcomes, that their lives were made better because of the services that we connected them to or that we helped deliver on their behalf.
When you're focusing on the social determinants of health, so how people work, how they play, where they live, all of those things, right, those underlying drivers, then you are really individualizing what those needs are. You're not saying everything that we have is for everyone, right? But as that one person comes through the door, you're saying, what are your needs and how do we get you connected? And you may be eligible for these programs, but if you're not, that doesn't stop here. we will then connect you with our partners or other organizations or other resources, because there's a reason why you called us in the first place. So we have to individualize and be person-centered for each person, because every situation is unique.
We're talking about homelessness. We're talking about public safety. We're talking about the mental health crisis in our community. And as the pandemic has shown us, we've had to really look inward at what we were doing and see how we can do it better or do it differently. And that's what the DHHS Future State and our strategic plan represents.
So that's a little bit of video, and I couldn't have said it better than Director Lucant McLean and Deputy Director Mohammed, though I will attempt to in my presentation here. So I'll speak a little bit about what the purpose of the strategic plan is, how it fits with the county vision and the county strategic plan, I'll speak a little bit about how it relates to the work that we are doing in behavioral health, and I'd say that's it relates strongly to it. And of course, both the leaders of behavioral health area and staff had a strong hand in designing and developing the strategic plan. So I'll pull up a couple of PowerPoint slides, and we'll go from there. All right, so I have a couple pages here. Really, the plan was about thinking about the department as a whole and where are we headed, and do we have alignment on where we're headed, and knowing the different programmatic areas that we have, how do you put that all together? In particular, historically, a lot of times our programmatic areas were working in silos. How do we break those silos and think about how we can achieve greater things together? So. A lot of the things that Shakita and David spoke about in terms of the strategic plan being the roadmap of where we're going, and really using that sort of 5-year timeline. I know we're in 2022. A lot of that work started right before the pandemic and kind of continued through the pandemic. How can we be the catalyst for change? How do we really become person centered? So I'll speak a little bit more about the details of that. For us, of course, it starts with our mission and vision. As you might remember, our mission of the department is empowering safe, healthy, and meaningful lives. And the vision is together creating healthy communities. And really been focused a lot on the together part, knowing that together meaning that all of our different programmatic areas and what can we achieve together for our participants. But also together as in our department is a major kind of player in the space, but we can't achieve population health outcomes without working together with our system partners, influencing our system partners to get to better outcomes. And of course, on the left, you see our different programmatic areas, aging, disabilities, children, youth, families, behavioral health, housing, management services, veterans, and our pride values there. When we think about our strategic plan and where we're going, of course, we have to consider the county vision and as departments, Health Human Services is a part of the county. In the past 5 to 7 years, really a lot more focus on racial equity within the county with the declaration of racism, a public health crisis. And then, this vision, which probably has been around for 3 to 5 years, that the new vision for the county is by achieving racial equity, Milwaukee is the healthiest county in Wisconsin. So, we highlight those two phrases. We see racial equity and we see health. And we talk about health as sort of this more holistic definition of health and, kind of alignment with the previous presentation. We're the Department of Health and Human Services, so certainly we have a big role to play in moving the county in this healthier direction. It's an ambitious goal. If the goal is health, we have to consider what is the current health of the county. You've probably seen these stats before. I'll walk through them relatively briefly. There's a county health rankings that speaks about the county being 70th out of 72, based on the rankings. So certainly not particularly close to number one. We also know that Milwaukee County has, higher rates of diabetes, obesity, others compared to just even our surrounding counties. And then, you know, just pull a couple of stats on racial health disparities. Again, just in alignment with, you know, the previous presentation. We talk about lifespan. The average white person in Walker County lives 14 years longer than a black person. And then on the other side of it, infant mortality rates is, you know, multiple times higher for black people and white people. And again, you know, these are just incredible disparities that we need to address. And then just kind of closer to home, you know, those COVID stats, I think the stats may be a year old, but we know the Latinx residents were twice as likely to contract COVID, and also hospitalization numbers as well. So, you know, continue to play out the COVID. So we took that. We took a number of other inputs. I know we had an opportunity to speak to then Chairman Lutzow as well, talk to our leaders, thought about county vision, a number of inputs from community, both primary and secondary research, a lot of work with staff at different levels, looked at our participant data, looked at department data, national models, and really spent a lot of 2019 thinking about, you know, where we want to go, and really, you know, started thinking, you know, developing these ideas in 2020. It took us a little bit, you know, until 2021 to really release this plan given the COVID pandemic, but a lot of this work really has been continuing for the last several years. We came up with, you know, all of this research led to a number of themes, and then those themes led to strategies. So kind of these themes are almost like building blocks. You know, a lot of conversation about No Wrong Door. Of course, you've heard us talk about No Wrong Door for the past several years. You know, how do we present ourselves to participants in a non-siloed way, such that no matter where they enter, you know, we navigate them to the right, care and integrate that care if it, you know, it's across different programs. Investing in our staff and ecosystem, knowing that our staff need to be supported and enabled in order to do the work, the really hard work that they do, but also knowing that half of our dollars is spent in contracts. So what does that mean in terms of how we should be supporting the ecosystem as well and those contracted staff? Number three and four are really around leading major system change. You know, it's sort of what I referenced before around it. We have to do the best that we can, but we also have to influence other partners to really make the change in population health. Investing upstream, a lot of conversation, of course, in mental and behavioral health about that. How do we get upstream as opposed to, you know, catching folks who are already in crisis? Placing a participant and community at the center. Kind of participant at the center is really around the No Wrong Door, you know, organizing to serve participants as opposed to organizing around, you know, what makes sense for us programmatically. How do we place the community at the center and uplift community voice in everything that we do? Of course, addressing racial equity, you know, those are the words three and four in the county vision. And that's both in our policies and practices, but also in our programs, but also in our system work. Addressing root causes and social determinants, knowing that you know, those affect our participants in a strong way, and we have to address it. And obviously, we have work that we're doing in housing, but also other social determinants, food, employment, and others. And I know that we do some work there in behavioral health. Developing trust, trust between leaders and staff, between us and the community, between us and providers. We know that change moves at the speed of trust. And then finally, developing, intentionally applying resources. You know, this one is really speaking about, you know, the county has a structural deficit, and we have to be thoughtful about, you know, if we want to expand in prevention, if we want to build these things that are forward-looking, we'll have to figure out new ways of applying our resources and, you know, probably applying them for grants in ways we haven't done before. So more, you know, more to come there. And certainly we've been thoughtful about how we're using ARPA and CARES dollars, you know, in that purpose. So a lot of kind of ideas here. So what does it mean? You know, what it boiled down for us was these two holistic strategies. These two holistic strategies, you know, typically as a, you know, as a strategy professional, you talk about like focus on one thing. But we knew that focusing just one thing wasn't going to really move the needle on health. So there are two of them, and they're really, really interlocking. So strategy one is a No Wrong Door integrated service and care strategy. So this one is really focused on how do we provide care to families, to participants, to improve the health of residents. So not just how do we achieve our programmatic outcomes, but also, you know, did we improve people's lives? And I know that we've been talking about those measures, at this forum for several years, and Matt Drumalski has been doing a lot of work there. So really, how do we holistically serve participants and their families? How do we orchestrate care across the age continuum? So this one's really about how do we serve participants the best that we can, and sometimes that's means partnering with programs that are outside of our department. Strategy two is really about focusing on the population. So not one particular participant, but how do we address the population health? And we think this is critical in moving the needle on overall health of the community. So we have to serve our participant the best way possible. That's what strategy one is about. And strategy two is about how do we move our dollars to prevention? How do we move our system partners to think about addressing structural racism, to think about moving overall resources to prevention? How do we uplift community voice in these discussions? So not only do we do that in our own programs where we have a lot of control, but how do we influence others as well? Policy, collective impact. So these are sort of two interlocking strategies, and we believe that a combination of those is really going to move the needle on health, which is really the overall vision of the county. So a lot of work happening in strategy one, strategy two, really started with strategy one. A lot of interesting work happening in strategy two, and particularly during COVID, a lot of population health stuff that maybe we didn't envision, when we started working on this in 2019, 2020. Of course, a lot of the themes and a lot of the strategies that we're speaking about here are in great alignment with the county. At the top here, the county has their three strategic pillars around intentional inclusion, racial equity, how we contract, who the staff are really fits really well with all we'll be talking about racial equity. Bridging the gap is about breaking down silos. Again, a lot of the same language they're using in strategy one. And then the invest in equity, investing upstream, root causes, social determinants, fiscal, all the things we're speaking about in strategy two as well. So a lot of great alignment with the county strategic plan. So not viewing these as distinct, but really, working, in concert. A bunch of different focus areas as in terms of how we're organizing the work. A lot of activity happening across all these focus areas and, thinking thought in a strategic way about kind of where we're making investments over time. That's kind of the end of my presentation. I'll speak for a minute about how the strategic plan fits with work we've been doing at Behavioral Health and, of course, by others. And then I'd answer any questions. Certainly strategy one work around No Wrong Door, just an incredible amount of time spent about, thinking about how do we break down silos between behavioral health and our other programmatic areas. A lot of great partnership with, housing, continued partnership with other areas as well. Breaking down silos within behavioral health and thinking about, how does our crisis work fit with our outpatient work? How does it fit with our community-based work? And then strategy two, you've been hearing about our work in crisis redesign for years. And that work has been in partnership with our hospital systems and FQHCs and other partners, community health centers and other partners. And really the great example of the work we're trying to do in strategy two is the Mental Health Emergency Center. That's a joint venture between the county and the for-profit health system. So a lot of work happening in strategy two. And I think there's just an incredible number of examples where the county has influenced our partners. And I think we need to continue doing that. I'll pause there for any questions. This is a brief version. I'll drop in the chat a link to a really nice 25-page report that speaks about all of these. And there's probably a more detailed version of that as well. But I'd be curious to entertain any questions from the group.
Thank you, Steve. I can tell strategic planning is your thing. very edifying, too, for this board. Amazing. Any questions or for Steve or comments from the board?
See, Mary has her.
Mary?
Steve, it was a pleasure reading this report. I know the members of the team put their heart and soul into it. And I like the visuals that you ended up coming up with for the No Wrong Door the tree with the themes, and it was very interesting to see it, things referenced to change agents in there, which are actually MC3 language, and in theme one where it talks about specific language, welcoming, there's a lot of MC3 language in there. And so going back to redesign and MC3, I see a lot of things that have come together and coalesced in this document. And everybody should be very proud of themselves. It's an excellent document, and not just the document, the content and the two strategies. And you guys have done a phenomenal job.
Mary, I really appreciate that, and it's high praise coming from you. I'm glad you're, you know, seeing the kind of the language of MC3 in there. You know, I think it really was inspired by a lot of the work we've done in the past. I mean, that's it's not a break from all the conversations in the past, but really trying to clarify and write it down, and be inspired going forward as well. So just appreciate comments.
Thank you, and Tom.
I just want to say too, this is quite impressive, this document, and it's built on a legacy that's quite impressive itself. I mean, some of the things that have happened with Granite Hills and the Emergency Center were started many, many years ago. They were started, 15, 20 years ago, so it takes some time for this kind of thing to unfold, but it's built on a tradition of massive change, and I'm sure it's going to be successful. The changes need to happen, I think Milwaukee County has a tradition of doing big things, and this is no less than some of the things that have been planned in the past. And so, very encouraging, very impressive, deep stuff, and so you guys did a good job. Very, very impressive.
Yeah, Tom, really appreciate that, and again, appreciate the acknowledgement, and I agree that it's continuing a lot of the incredible work, and the strategy to work we've done at BHS is monumental, and more work to be done with our partners. And I mean, COVID has been a really nice reinforcement that we wrote a lot of this stuff in 2019 before COVID, and then COVID hit, and we were prepared because it just reinforced all these themes. We added some things or tweaked some things, but racial equity, COVID reinforced that. Working with our partners to make impact in the community, COVID reinforced that. And so, maybe accelerate some things, maybe reprioritize some things, but thinking that this is going the right direction. The strategic plan is a 5-year plan, but really a lot of these themes that expect to go beyond 2025. A lot of work to build some of the capabilities that we need to be good at to continue doing this work. So the plan is a really nice step. The visuals are really well done, and our team really did a great job of that. A lot of work remains, and look forward to updating this group on how we're implementing it. That's really where the work remains.
Well, thank you, Steve. Captured all the salient variables that we're paying attention to. So, all righty. If there are no other questions or just general comments or thoughts, thank you again, Steve. And I'm going to rely on Jody to move us to the next item on the agenda.